Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where we believe that pro wrestling is the most theatrical performance art in the world today, bar none, full stop. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the amenable Tyler Ward. How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing good, until I had to look up what amenable means.
Yeah. Teaching you words, not just wrestling, but regular vocab on this show, too.
At first I was like, huh, but then at the same time, I was like, alright, you know what, I'm okay. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the WrestleMania 3 theme song that just led into our show?
I feel like we need to like change the intro to this, be like, welcome to Much Ado About Wrestling. Why don't you grab yourself a cup of tea and sit down and have a talk with us for this wonderful 90s talk show that we're now about.
It's weird because the first bit of it sounded like the bad sci-fi effect of like throwing stones on a pond, you know, like the skipping sound effect.
Yeah.
And then it suddenly was like, good morning, Toronto, you know, like some really, really, I don't know what they were going for.
I definitely enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, I'll say according to the one comment on this video where we got the theme song from, someone who says that their name is Kane 3 years ago said that the artist who created this song was called A Gate to Hell, and the title was Magicus. I don't think either of those are accurate.
Yeah, I don't think. No, that doesn't sound right.
I think this guy who said his name is Kane, who has an avatar picture of Jeff Hardy, probably not reliable.
Probably not.
It's WrestleMania week still. We're now 4 days away.
Still WrestleMania week, halfway through the work week, almost, which is good. Mm-hmm.
Have you had a good work week so far, Tyler?
It's fine. I've realized that's the hardest part about having WrestleMania week is getting through it. looking forward to everything on Saturdays and Sundays, you know, you guys just got to get there.
So I hope you guys have been listening along with us. Hope you've been reading the blogs. We've had two of them out by now, and I hope that you've enjoyed them. I hope you now know what the main event of WrestleMania should be, and I hope you are well-versed in my comparisons of WrestleMania to the Super Bowl and to other events, and which one I landed on as being, this is what we should call WrestleMania. I'm not going to spoil it here, though. You gotta go get the download, put the numbers up. Yeah, we are really excited for WrestleMania. Should we just hop into our word of the day, like right off the... Actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's take a stroll down memory lane, because that's what that music made me feel like. What's the first WrestleMania that you remember watching, Tyler?
It depends. So the first WrestleMania that I think I was exposed to was the one I spoke about this last episode a little bit, was WrestleMania X7. It was in 2001. Yeah. The main event was The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. This wasn't the first WrestleMania I watched, but it was the first one that I exposed to because one of the first wrestling VHS I ever purchased. Yes, VHS back in the day when we used to still do that, was the 2001 Royal Rumble. And that being the Royal Rumble where Austin won for the third time and then went on to Mania to face The Rock. But the first WrestleMania that I actually watched live while it was happening was WrestleMania 22. It happened in, I believe, 06. I remember this one specifically because I finally got my mom to give me the $50 to pay for the WrestleMania pay-per-view that I streamed on a desktop computer in our basement because we didn't have a cable box. So
it's shocking how similar these two stories are for us, and we didn't plan on this. We didn't tell each other.
No. What is your story? Oh, boy.
My first WrestleMania that I watched was WrestleMania X7, which I watched 3 months later because I bought it on DVD because my parents wouldn't buy me pay-per-views, so I had to save money. And I would buy them on DVD. I would buy WrestleMania every year, and I would buy the pay-per-views between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, so I had these little, like, full storylines. So I also bought X17, which I can tell you all the DVD menus on it. Mm-hmm. I can tell you everything that I can tell you that the Sunday Night Heat match was X Factor. So it was X-Pac and Just Incredible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember everything about that DVD. I remember the montage of all the best moments of that WrestleMania at the end of it, set to Limp Bizkit's My Way.
Mm-hmm. Arguably one of the best match promos ever.
Arguably the only good Limp Bizkit song ever. come at me, Limp Bizkit fans, wherever you are.
Wherever you are.
So that was my first WrestleMania that I watched, which was like right after I got into wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. What was the first one you watched live?
WrestleMania 20.
Oh, okay.
Madison yes. Square Garden.
And by live, we mean while it was happening, not like actually being there.
Yes. Yeah. I convinced my parents to drop the $50 on it as like an early birthday gift, yep. I think. And I watched it in my basement, and I had the two VCR set up, so I was taping it onto VHS tapes, and I put it on the, this is a real look at old tech for our young listeners.
Yeah.
VHS tapes used to be able to record up to 6 hours, mm-hmm. but they were like, you had to put it on a quality setting. There were this little tab that you can like slide to let it know which type of setting it needed to record on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was putting it on the best setting, which only recorded an hour and a half, and I had bought a block of six of those VHS tapes so that I would get it in the best quality, and I have them together in a basement somewhere
WrestleMania
now.
WrestleMania 20 part one, part two.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's so good. If anything, like, I mean, it's really a testament to how, like, if you weren't a wrestling fan before like 2009, 2010, like, you don't understand mm-hmm. how wonderful the network is. I mean, like,
yeah. Even if the network was just like, here are all the pay-per-views live.
It used to be truly a struggle to watch pay-per-views in wrestling. But yeah, I mean,
and we're going
to
be giving away some gift cards to the network in our voting. But again, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But I remember that WrestleMania 20. I remember that until then, they used to do a thing that I wish they still did, where there was no live show the last week of December for Raw or SmackDown. And they would do a WWE best 10 matches of the year special instead. There would be all these matches from the pay-per-views that I didn't get to see, and I would also record that onto a bunch of VHS tapes. So I have a bunch of like best matches of the year 2003, 4, 5, 6, you know. They don't do that anymore, but I remember WrestleMania 20 specifically ending on the at the time really great WrestleMania moment of best friends Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit both having their world titles in confetti in Madison Square Garden. It's a WrestleMania moment that we don't see much of anymore for
obvious reasons,
pretty bad reasons.
But I mean, still, I remember that too. That is still one of my favorite moments. Unfortunately, we don't see it very often.
We keep saying the word WrestleMania moment. Yeah, I'm sorry. You were trying to segue before I could do it.
You had a better segue though. That was pretty good.
We're talking about this WrestleMania moments, and you might be saying, well, like, yeah, anything that happens at WrestleMania is a moment, is a WrestleMania moment. That's not true. It's taken on kind of its own vocabulary, and I'll give you, this is our word of the day, is WrestleMania moment. It is a noun. It is a portion of WrestleMania where storytelling and performance blend to create an iconic happening, to be remembered and recycled in video packages for years to come. It's an important building block to a wrestler's legacy. Do you think that covers it? Did I leave out kind of like anything that makes a WrestleMania moment a moment?
No, I mean, that's literally perfect. The very simplest term is highlight reel. If you're watching a basketball game and, you know, the buzzer winning three-pointer at the end, like, that's the highlight mm-hmm. reel. That's the game moment, essentially.
But it's even more than that, because they're like lasting.
Exactly.
It's more than
like,
here was the highlight of the week. So think, you know, there can be on SportsCenter, there could be a game-winning three-pointer, but you're not going to see that as much as you see Michael Jordan, Game 6, 1998, versus the Utah Jazz, pushing off of Brian Russell, which should have been called a foul. Now you know who my favorite basketball team is. And Jordan hitting the game-winning shot to end his career. It's that kind of thing. It's the thing that is put on posters and put on shirts,
and it's the story that they're telling, and it also that adds to these moments. Of course,
WrestleMania we talked about the inception of it in the last episode and how it was this big risk, this big event that Vince McMahon had to put all this money into. And when it started to be successful, you were able to build on its own legacy by saying, remember this moment that happened? This was great. And that is a big part of the beginning of WrestleMania's video packages. Video packages in general are the real MVP of WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to have you try to guess all of the WrestleMania moments that were in the video package last year. But last year was the ultimate thrill ride, so they did this whole thing that made it look like a roller coaster ride and didn't actually put any in it, which has got to be a first.
Yeah.
I will say that, yeah, today, WWE, or maybe not today, last Saturday, WWE put a front page thing on their website that was top 10 WrestleMania moments that ended a WrestleMania.
That ended a WrestleMania?
Yeah, like lasting moments at WrestleMania. You could probably knock off a number of these pretty easily.
The ending WrestleMania is that adds a little thing, because I mean you have WrestleMania moments that, like, you know, Hulk Hogan suplexing Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3. You have
that was
Edge,
the number 4 moment.
Yep, Edge spearing Jeff Hardy hanging from the in that ladder match that didn't end
WrestleMania X7.
Definitely what I was thinking of. Let's see, ending. You definitely have the WrestleMania 3 moment we just talked about. You have Daniel Bryan winning at WrestleMania 30.
That was their number one moment.
I'm going to say The Undertaker pseudo-retiring last year.
Yep.
Okay. Seth Rollins cashing in at WrestleMania 31.
Tyler, you just named the top four.
Nice. I'm just going down the list. Going down the list. And then this is where it starts to get complicated. I don't want to say it, but maybe Hulk Hogan beating Yokozuna after the match with Bret Hart. Okay, good. I was worried.
That's a pretty bad one.
I was worried that was on there.
There's another retirement in there.
I don't remember if this was the main event or not, but Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair?
No, but Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker.
Yes.
So that retirement. Ric Flair's would have been on there if that was the last match.
I couldn't remember if that was the last match, but yeah, so that's another one.
Mm-hmm. Almost all of the other ones are ones that we actually talked about on the last episode. Okay. You have Vince and Austin turning on Rock at 17. You have the boyhood dream, Shawn Michaels winning his first title and coming in on the zip line. You have Mike Tyson knocking out Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
They have The Rock passing the torch to Cena at the end of their three WrestleMania arc.
One.
And then they have Bret Hart's first WWE title win at WrestleMania, beating Yokozuna. So the theme in a lot of those WrestleMania moments is either creating a star or ending a star. So when used correctly, you can turn someone into an icon. They said it's the showcase of the immortals. You can make someone's character immortal with these moments done correctly.
Yeah.
You can also bungle it and then people forget that it ever happened. I can't tell you anything that happened with JBL on a WrestleMania, but I know that he was in some pseudo main events. Yeah.
I only remember that John Cena won his first WWE title from JBL at WrestleMania 21. But I only remember that because that was the one where Batista also won his World Heavyweight Championship from Triple H. So,
yeah. It's when done correctly, you can pass the torch with a good WrestleMania moment. Do you have any? Are there any other WrestleMania moments that we haven't talked about yet that stick out as like the moments that if you have a few days before WrestleMania? Maybe this is your first one you're going to watch. What WrestleMania should people go back and watch to get prepped and to get excited?
Well, we've already mentioned it. I've always been a huge fan of WrestleMania 21. This was the theme. Typically, every year WrestleMania, they try to have a theme. Like last year's was a roller coaster.
Ultimate thrill ride.
The ultimate thrill ride.
So
WrestleMania 21, the theme was WrestleMania Goes Hollywood. And I love this because they had some of the best WrestleMania promos to ever happen, is where they had some of the superstars reenacting like famous movie scenes.
Oh my god!
And it was so
much fun,
so good.
The one that sticks out for me is Christian and Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho.
Oh yes, and Stacey Keibler.
And maybe Stacey Keibler doing the Basic Instinct scene.
That was a great one.
You could tell that some of the wrestlers were like, man, this is really fun. Yes. We're taking it seriously. And some were like, I do not want to be here.
Stone Cold Steve Austin reenacted Maximus' speech from Gladiator.
Oh, my God. Yeah. These are up there with the West Side Story thing that we showed for Royal Rumble. But they're way longer and more involved. But they're some good ones.
I do love... that one, that's a super fun Mania.
I would go back. The WrestleMania stretch between 17 and 20 is really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good passing of the torch, and you see the end of one era of wrestling and the beginning of another one take place there really well. I would go back, watch WrestleMania 10's ladder match. Is one of the big ones between the first real like ladder match with Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels. WrestleMania 3, not just because of Andre and Hulk Hogan, but because of the Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage match. WrestleMania 6 is fun to just see how popular the Ultimate Warrior was for a time, who like beats Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, find stuff like Snooki wrestling at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I always keep bringing it up. That's my favorite thing that has happened at a WrestleMania.
is Snooki is Much Ado About Wrestling Hall of Fame first inductee?
Yeah, if we can get her on the show, I would do that in a heartbeat to ask her about that entire experience of being a wrestler for a month.
Our first Hall of Fame inductee, Snooki.
Yeah, yeah. She was better at it than Mickey Rourke was. We recently rewatched the wrestler here, and I was telling the people I watched it with, like, you know, Mickey Rourke was at WrestleMania that year, did this whole thing, and did it with Chris Jericho, and Chelsea loves Chris Jericho, so she's like, this is gonna be good. And then Mickey really doesn't know what he's doing.
No.
Yeah, no, but that's worth watching too.
Mm.
Speaking of worth watching. We got all of the SmackDown matches to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And SmackDown may be referred sometimes as the B brand, but man, are they bringing the fire this year.
They really are.
So 'tis the time to switch our gears and resume the daunting task of previewing the match card for WrestleMania. Since WrestleMania's runtime is similar to one of Shakespeare's history plays, we're going to just focus on the matches from the SmackDown brand today. If you've come for Raw, then you simply guide yourself down the podcast feed to the episode we released on Monday. Normally, again, we try to do this in 30 minutes or less, but since this is WrestleMania, we're going to take all the time we need to talk about these matches. So, Tyler, which match do you want to start with? And I feel like I know which one you're going to say.
I think you're correct. Gotta start at the top once again. This is also in the list of potential main events for WrestleMania. This is going to be the WWE Championship will be defended. AJ Styles, the champion, defending against the challenger, and the 2018 Royal Rumble winner, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh my god, I'm really excited for this.
I'm excited I just said that sentence. Like, oh my god.
Yeah. This is, if you think of WrestleMania, we said it once or twice about it being made to have something that caters to every type of fan. The super snarky internet hipster fans of wrestling, this is their match.
Yes.
And this is the best match they could have been given, really. This is the best match on the card.
Yeah.
From
and
a
again,
purely wrestling standpoint.
Last episode, I talked about the potential of how the Cruiserweight match could steal the show as best match. This is the other possibility. AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. So this is actually, this is going to be a rematch. The first match that they had was at Wrestle Kingdom 10 for the IWGP...
Intercontinental. Not even the heavyweight.
It wasn't even the heavyweight. It was the Intercontinental title.
This was in 2016.
Yes. But,
not that long ago.
That match has been heralded by a lot of people as an amazing, one of the best matches they've ever seen. Five-star classic by Dave Meltzer.
He gave it a 4.75, actually.
No way! Today,
which is crazy.
Wow,
yeah.
Dave can't even kick out 5 stars for this?
Maybe Dave will go back and revise the rating, kind of like how Rolling Stone magazine, when they get like their initial star rating for an album like really wrong, they'll go back and be like, re-rated 4 stars.
Wow, I can't believe he didn't give this 5 stars. Who knows? Okay, well, anyway. But yeah, so the match that they had was, it was a instant classic. It was a really amazing match. And so for the non-WWE audience, like the people, the internet fans, like people like us who watch wrestling from any promotion, we are aware that this is like their rematch. Nakamura did win the first match that they had at Wrestle Kingdom. So, but for the WWE audience, this is their first meeting. And they know through the storyline, through what they've said on television and stuff, that they, that AJ Styles and Shinsuke have a history. They may not know exactly what it is, but they know that they have a history between them. They have been competitors before.
This is going to be a match that, if you're watching this in a group of people and people don't watch wrestling, that when someone like me or you are like, oh my God, this is the match that you got to watch, and they show the title card and you see them for the first time, you see AJ and Shinsuke, the people we're with might be like, why? Why is this the match that we should be excited about?
Yeah.
That is what a lot of the WWE audience is maybe thinking. And this is going to be their opportunity to show what they can do.
Yes.
AJ is the most athletic wrestler above 215 pounds that WWE has had in a long, long time. Shinsuke Nakamura is this combination of a Japanese version of Michael Jackson and Freddie Mercury in like his style and movement and weirdness, but then wrestles the way that like a mixed martial artist would.
Yeah.
There aren't as many maneuvers or holds, but he legitimately kicks people really hard.
Yeah.
And together, if they're allowed to work that kind of style, they can do something pretty realistic and brutal.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is how you were saying, this is going to be that match that for the casual fan who kind of, you know, knows about wrestling, doesn't really watch it, it's going to seem weird because I think, I mean, these are two not like household names.
No. If AJ Moore is really becoming a company man.
I'd say if anyone has heard like the name AJ Styles, like you might know like, oh, he's a wrestler or something like that. But I would argue still probably not a lot of people have heard of Shinsuke Nakamura. Neither of them are, of course, on the level of like a, you know, a John Cena or The Rock or Stone Cold or something like that. But this
I'll give you a great example of that is Bill Simmons, who runs The Ringer, who was on ESPN, noted wrestling fan, was talking in one of his podcasts a few weeks ago about the Royal Rumble ending, and he kept calling him Shinsuke Nakamura. And it's like, oh, well, he, like, even this guy doesn't know how to say his name.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, I'm so pumped for this match. I have a lot of high hopes for it, which is it's worrisome because when you do have such high hopes for a match, like even if it's like right where it should be, it could still be a letdown to some people. I'm hoping they're gonna give this match a lot of time. I think it deserves a minimum of 20 minutes, but
I think it'll be the longest match on the card.
I think so too. Or at least, I mean, I hope at least. Yeah. But yeah.
I hope that if it's not in the main event, I hope it's the first match that happens when it really gets, I was going to say when it really gets dark, but the Superdome is indoors, so they don't have to worry about
that. Yeah, that's true.
This year.
Another side, some weird side note with WrestleMania is that, and sometimes they've been doing outdoor stadiums and things like this. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. But like, when it's still
unless it rains,
when it's still dusk and like it's not really dark out, it can pose some weird moments. I always remember WrestleMania 32 when I think it was 32, yeah, when Bray Wyatt was facing the Undertaker, and Bray's entrance is all about him coming out in complete darkness, and he has a lantern that he walks to the ring, and everyone in the crowd will pull out their cell phones, but their match, it was still like dusk. So, like, yeah, you can still see everything very
not
clearly.
Even. It was bright. It was very bright.
Yeah.
So they don't have to worry about this, but I feel like this is should be the if it's not the main event, it should be the beginning of the third act of the evening.
Yes.
Kind of like they should have a comedy match before it and be like, now we're getting serious.
I wish this was the main event. I'm fairly certain it won't be, but I wish it was.
Yeah. I actually think it's in a worse position to succeed if it's the main event, because as we've said, WrestleMania is 7 hours and the audience is going to have been there for a long time. And if the last thing you're showing them is like, all right, this is going to be a 60-minute draw
of
technical wrestling. Like, I don't know if they'll have the patience to like,
that's true, but I would
argue it won't be a 60-minute draw. Don't worry, guys.
I would argue that this match, if went on last, like, you are guaranteed a happy crowd when they leave. Because whoever wins, they're going to be happy. Like, it doesn't matter if AJ or Shinsuke wins. Like, that crowd is going to leave happy.
How do you feel about the build for this match? Have they told a story?
So, unfortunately, not so much.
No.
This match, for us, for you and I, for wrestling fans who know the history, know about their time in New Japan and things like that, this match doesn't need the story. You know what I mean?
No.
This story has already been told. It's years in the making. So we're fine with it, but for the casual WWE fan, you know, I feel like for a high profile match like this, you know, the champion versus the Royal Rumble winner, like, this should have been, you should have just had a little something more, something better.
They've done a bit more the last 2 weeks. I would tell you what they did yesterday on SmackDown, but you know, the jig is up. We don't know what they did on SmackDown yesterday because we recorded this before it.
Yeah.
so we don't know what the last image is going to be going into WrestleMania with them, but the image from last week's SmackDown was great of the kind of story they have been telling is that they both really respect each other as athletes and they want them to both be able to like come into WrestleMania unharmed. Other people have tried to harm them and they'll step in and say like, no, we want each other, like, cause we're the best.
It's like an honor of like the pureness of competition, basically, is like, we each want you at your best, cause I want to prove that I'm better than you on this thing.
Yeah. And last week on WrestleMania, sounds like a soap opera. Last week on WrestleMania, last week on SmackDown, it ended with AJ in the ring, in the position to take Nakamura's finisher, the kick to the face, and Nakamura made it seem like, oh no, he's actually going to hit him, and AJ had this kind of oh crap look on his face, and then Nakamura stopped and just kind of screamed, kick to the face to him, and that was, I know that made it sound really stupid, but it looks great.
yeah very much. But yeah, I mean, I don't think the story's been that great. I mean, honestly, it hasn't been necessarily bad. I do like the story they're trying to tell of like, these are just two competitors who want to prove that they are better than the other, and like, they don't want anything to like jeopardize that. It's just a matter of like, we know the backstory and like, we're excited for it regardless. So
I'll say part of it too, that we know is, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura just moved to America, has not been a great English speaker, but I think actually recently his English has been better.
He's getting better. I mean,
being last year.
Yeah.
He's not ready to cut long promos yet, but there's hope for him to really be able to be a big US star as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He's getting there. The next match, and this one, like, I think, like, there's the sense that this could be the main event just because what it entails. But honestly, like, I don't actually think this ever would be the main event. But this is arguably the biggest story coming out of wrestling in 2018, is that the tag match, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will be facing off against Shane McMahon and the returning Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, this is the most unlikely match to have happened this year.
Yes.
We've been teasing it since we started this podcast. We're saying, when we were frustrated with the story that they've been telling for 6 months on SmackDown, we were like, how is there going to be a payoff? Because Daniel Bryan can't wrestle.
Exactly.
Well, we were wrong. The payoff is Daniel Bryan can wrestle, so the story looks better.
Daniel Bryan's been medically cleared. He is an active wrestler now, and we're going to see this match. I think it's I'm okay with this match. It's not what I wanted for a Daniel Bryan return. I think because when Daniel Bryan retired, and it did have that feeling of finality of like, wow, you know, we've seen the last Daniel Bryan match in WWE. And so besides this just being, you know, a great feel good story and moment that this guy who, you know, he was told that his dream was taken away from him, and he fought and clawed and he finally gets it back and he can finally wrestle again. I, as a fan, want to see something higher profile. You know, I want to see him versus AJ. I want to see him versus Shinsuke. I want to see him versus Finn. Like, I want to see him versus Miz. Like, that's the
that's what I want, really.
But yeah, this, I'm okay with this match just because it's going to be a good match regardless, because we know Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are top level performers. It's going to be a great match. And also because it is a tag match, don't get me wrong, I love that Daniel Bryan is wrestling, but like that first night when he was back, like, oh man, I was watching that with gritted teeth and like my fist clenched, 'cause I'm so worried. Like, I don't want him to get hurt. And I think this match will protect him.
I also thought like they got to be doing a tag match for that, so he doesn't have to wrestle that much at first. And I think it's been kind of said, I forget who reported this, so I'm sorry that I'm not crediting you, but I know it's been kind of reported that he will basically go into concussion protocol after every match.
Yes,
no matter what, because they don't want him to, I mean, they don't want the very real possibility of him having a life-ending injury in the ring.
Exactly.
That would be very bad. So he was going to be protected because Shane could just get pummeled, but Shane in real life is nursing a very serious injury at the moment.
Yeah.
He has an inflamed part of his digestive tract and abdomen. one that ended Brock Lesnar's MMA career for a while.
Yeah.
This is a real, like, this is like a super hernia, basically. And they say that Shane's going to wrestle, and I can't imagine what pain he will be in legitimately.
I mean, I've never experienced diverticulitis, so I don't know.
Hey, you can say it.
I can say it. I don't know. So I don't, I mean, I can't imagine what sort of pain he's in, but like, this is, it's a very real thing. Like, this isn't storyline at all. Like, he's currently, I believe, or was in the hospital, you know, going treatment, trying to get through this. So there's been talk that potentially they might have a replacement for Shane. Now, again, this is something that could have been addressed last night on SmackDown.
We don't know.
We don't know yet. But right now, we've been told by Daniel Bryan and everyone else that Shane McMahon will be at Mania. It will be the two of them versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I think this story, like the other tag team matches we talked about yesterday or on Monday, I think the story is going to be the hot tag. Which is a word we haven't defined yet, but it's like when one guy keeps getting beaten up, usually the lesser of two in a tag team, and then the big guy is just wants to come in and clean house, and when he finally gets tagged, that comeback is going to be amazing, especially because it's going to be the first time that we get to see Daniel Bryan in years.
Yeah.
I think, again, this could potentially be the main event just because of Daniel Bryan.
Just because it's Daniel Bryan. And like,
I mean, we just said his coronation, his WrestleMania moment was listed as the number one greatest one ever by them.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a moment in and of itself, but if it's not last, it's going to be first.
Yeah. It's the sense of like him coming back. I can't even put it into words. It's just,
he has beautifully the last 2 weeks.
He
of promos
beautifully. Yeah. Yeah. He's
amazing.
He's described it perfectly. Like, and I just, It's such a big moment, like, outside of wrestling. Like, I remember, so the night that Daniel Bryan came back on SmackDown, I was watching it live with my girlfriend, and, like, I kept trying to explain, like, why I, as a 27-year-old man, am, like, almost crying. And she's like, this is wrestling. I don't, like, I understand, like, you love it, but, like, why? And I was like, I was like, this is so much more than wrestling. I was like, this is a guy who he's fought his whole life to like do this one thing that he loves, and it was taken away from him, and finally it's back and he can do it again. Like, I was like, this transcends wrestling. This isn't about wrestling. This is about anyone who's like had a dream since they were a kid, and like you had it and it was taken away, but you finally got it back. Like,
anyone
I don't know
who fought for their dream Get the new t-shirt by Daniel Bryan.
Honestly.
That says,
I mean,
that on it.
I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, I could very much say that, like, I'm most excited for this match just because I can't wait to see Daniel Bryan, like, wrestling again.
I'm excited for one more reason, and then we should go on from this match. And
yes.
It's, I love Kevin. I love Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a tough year of trying to be pushed to these as these big new heels, but people like them so much that it's tough for them to get genuine, you know, boos.
Yeah.
And beating the crap out of Daniel Bryan on the week of his return was the way to do that. And I hope that they can, that they are just going to be pieces of crap during the match too. And I hope that it generates real boos for them for a while, because I think that's great for them.
That's the biggest heel move of the decade. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on to the last of the potential matches that can main event, it is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I'm kidding. That's not. It is the WWE SmackDown Women's title when Charlotte Flair, the Queen Charlotte, defends her title against the undefeated Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka.
Now, this is going to be a huge match. It's another match where we most likely know how it's going to play out. Asuka is undefeated, and that's, I mean, how many matches is it now?
Over 200.
Legit matches, I think it's about 200 to 300 matches. Kayfabe, it's like 600 or 700 matches, something like that. I don't know. But
10,000, yeah.
But yeah, so Asuka's legit undefeated. She's never lost a match in WWE. And yes, Charlotte is the champion. Charlotte's the premier athlete in the women's division, WWE, I would say.
The daughter of Ric Flair.
Daughter of Ric Flair.
The legacy, yeah.
So, I mean, this is a huge match. Like, I think this is a match that they could, honestly, they could have put this match off for, like, 2 to 3 years, and it would have been, it would have been so much bigger then. Because, I mean, the story writes itself. I personally think Asuka's going to win, of course. I don't see them breaking the streak yet.
I think this is not the first. I mean, this is the first time we're going to see this match. This is not the last time. I think in theory, if things go well, they could build it up to have a rematch be a main event at WrestleMania. They really could.
Yeah. Well, we had talked about this a couple episodes. The idea of this match can. You can write the top women's storyline in the division for the next two years.
Yeah.
If Asuka beats Charlotte for the title, keep her undefeated. She holds that title until next year's Mania, when Charlotte finally gets her rematch and then gets the title back, breaks the streak. Like, that's huge, massive.
And then you can do a part three.
Exactly.
That too. Like, and I think that we're both kind of shocked that this match got announced as late as it did too. It seemed like they had to figure out what they were doing with Ronda before they could announce what Asuka was doing.
Yeah,
it feels like they rushed into it. Charlotte missed some time because of emergency oral surgery. Everyone SmackDown's been hurt. We didn't even mention that AJ Styles has a really bad back or arm problem. He had an Achilles problem. Something. He had some problem people were really worried about too, but he has assured us that he will wrestle. But, like, Charlotte's missed the time that she could have done to build up this match. Asuka is great, but her command of the English language is far worse than Nakamura's. But she doesn't have to say anything, really.
She's
been built up as a monster enough that it doesn't. She doesn't need to say anything. But I hope this is the beginning of a great story with the two of them. What do you think the story in the match will be?
Asuka, though she is undefeated and she's extremely dominant, we know that Asuka, like, can still have a competitive match. She always wins, but it doesn't mean she's always in control. Like, we've seen a lot of times where Asuka is getting beaten down most of the match, where she's taking a lot of the hits and stuff. So I think that leaves a lot of the potential for Charlotte to show some great offense in this match. I think we're definitely going to see a sick moonsault spot from Charlotte somewhere. That's going to happen. I think we're the height of the climax of this match, I think, is going to come to Charlotte's going to get Asuka in the figure eight lock, and you're going to have that huge moment of, like, will Asuka tap? Will the streak be broken? And I that moment, you could have everyone in that stadium on their feet, just like,
yeah, that could be amazing.
Watching in that moment, where is Asuka going to tap? Is she going
to
tap?
I think I relate it to Rocky IV, where if we didn't hate the foreigner for like hating America, because she certainly doesn't, but where like there's a grizzled American proven champion who's now facing like a super soldier from another land.
Yeah.
Just with less overt Cold War ties to it.
That's her gimmick.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I hope it will be just as glitzy and fun as Rocky IV is.
Yeah.
Hopefully not as flawed as Rocky IV is, though. Which match should we go to next? We've only got two more on the SmackDown side.
We do,
actually.
Yeah, not so much on the SmackDown side. Next up, if this match doesn't have pre-show written all over it, I don't know what does. This is the United States Championship four-way match that is going to be Randy Orton, the champion, defending against Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Rusev Day.
Rusev got added to this match last week, maybe just because he is so popular, and this match before then was feeling kind of lifeless. And it's too bad, because it's everyone in there, even like Jinder, are popular people who should be...
Yeah, they're all great in their own right. I mean, Randy Orton is, he's a guaranteed main event Hall of Famer. Like, he's 13-time world champion. Like, he's Randy Orton. Bobby Roode, though his tenure in WWE hasn't been very long, he's had an almost 20-year career in professional wrestling and TNA and stuff. He's a great, I mean, and his time in WWE has been very impactful. He was NXT champion for a very long time. Recent United States champion.
Good pun there, calling it impactful.
recent United States champion, so he's been doing great. Jinder Mahal did just have his run as the WWE champion this past year, which many people thought this would be unheard of, that Jinder Mahal would be elevated to this level. But honestly, I mean, despite that not going over like as they had planned, I thought his title run was great. I really enjoyed Jinder as champion. And then Rusev, of course, is just the most popular guy in the company right now, but like right below Daniel Bryan. So
I think this has got to be Rusev's victory. This has
got to
be his moment.
Yeah.
And I think you got to do it early in the night so that people aren't chanting Rusev Day during other people's matches.
Yeah.
So I think it does. I think maybe this is the main event of the pre-card. And like this is like the thing that gets people to get to their seats because they don't want to miss Rusev. Maybe. I don't know.
That's also a very good point. I didn't think about that. giving Rusev this win early in the night so you don't sour the rest of the night. Because there is the potential for that fan backlash of them chanting Rusev Day during the main event. So, which, honestly, like, I think could still happen. So,
yeah, hopefully not. If Rusev Day is being chanted after the Rusev match, then it means the match you're watching right now is not going well.
True.
But yeah, I don't know what they're... I think this match is going to be short. I think it's going to be like 8 minutes at the most. I think everyone will get their spots in.
Yeah, maybe. I think it has enough people in it that it could be fun, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everyone's kind of floundering right now. I'm really worried about Bobby Roode.
I'm very worried about Bobby Roode.
They got to make him a villain or do something with
him.
They
got to make him a villain.
He came to the main roster with so much momentum, and it really has gone the other
way. Yeah, yeah. They've got to turn him heel soon.
They got to put him, when they do the roster shakeup post-WrestleMania and move some people from brands, maybe Bobby Roode is one that a move to Raw would be beneficial for him.
Probably, So, the last match for the SmackDown tag titles. Is this a TLC match confirmed?
Well, if we actually recorded this on the morning that we're releasing this, we would know. I think we'll know on SmackDown this week, meaning yesterday
back.
For you listening. Yeah.
Be the Usos, the champions, versus the New Day and the Bludgeon Brothers?
It sounded like it was a question mark, but they're definitely in it. There's been... Someone released a promo image from WWE that claimed that this was going to be a TLC match. Not a tending, loving, care match, but a tables, ladders, chairs match, which the best ones in history have been at WrestleMania, and that would be fantastic. That would really elevate this match.
It would, yeah.
If it is a TLC match. We don't know for sure if it is going to be or not. But I hope that if it isn't, I hope that this doesn't get relegated to the pre-show, because the New Day and the Usos deserve to be on the main.
Oh no, yeah,
the main card. Yeah.
I don't think it will be on the pre-show. Just because we know that the Usos and the New Day can put on a great match, and especially if you add in that stipulation of TLC potentially, like it can make that a very exciting thing to see. But also, I don't see the New Day being on the pre-show. They were the hosts of last year's WrestleMania. They didn't have a match, and I think they are high enough on the card. They're a high enough like act in the company that they would be guaranteed a spot on the main card, I think.
Hot take. If it's a TLC match, I think this might be the best match of the pay-per-view.
Ooh. Okay.
On a really stacked card, I think if they give them like 15 minutes to just do a bunch of crazy stuff, I think it could be amazing.
I mean, there's certainly potential. Again, we know that Usos and the New Day can put on the best match of the night. We've seen them do it before. I mean, it's going to be a good match. I think I see the Bludgeon Brothers picking up the win here.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And then maybe either the Usos or New Day can get shaken up too. They need some fresh stuff to do.
Yeah.
But this is a nice culmination of a year-long thing for them.
Yeah.
Technically, there's one more match we can talk about, and it is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Who do you see winning this? We had said Rusev before, but now he is not going to be in it.
Yeah, so Rusev was my lock for this match. Before we knew he was going to be added to the United States title picture, like, he was my lock. I was like, there's no one else who could possibly win this match with Rusev. But now that he's not there, I mean, it certainly opens up the possibilities for anyone to get this win.
Yeah. I mean, as of Saturday, March 31st, which I'm saying for some reason, the entrants are Dash Wilder, Scott Dawson of The Revival, Baron Corbin, Mojo Rawley, Ty Dillinger, Matt Hardy, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, and Tyler Breeze. I'm sure that there's been some more announced in the past 2 days.
Yeah. I think there's potential for Matt Hardy to win this. He has had a very prominent spot on the main roster with Ultimate Deletion happening, things like that.
Yeah.
I guess that means Bray could also be in this match.
I think this is a win that Bray Wyatt needs.
Oh no!
Quite honestly,
yeah, Bray needs this.
Fun stat: Bray's in jeopardy of going from the first person ever to be in the WWE title match at a WrestleMania to the next year not being on the show. Regardless, you know, taking out people who like
roster,
retired or quit or like got hurt, man. Like someone who's physically able to be there does not have a match.
Jeez. I mean, my dark horse is always Ty Dillinger because I just want the best for him. But
my dark horse is whichever New Orleans Saints player is there and able to. Drew Brees will come out
That's
and Alvin
true.
Kamara. Like, you'll just, yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. So I did. I got that stupid banner out of the gears of the kayfabe. That was.
Oh, good.
That was a bad idea. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that.
That's okay. I forgive you.
But so I got a thing working again. I say we could hop on in. We got a few questions here that I think we need to answer.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get in the kayfabe.
All right. I'm gonna flip that switch.
It moves much quicker without a flag stuck in the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works.
I know. All right, so first up on our list of questions for the kayfabe, Andrew, will WrestleMania be on Rusev Day?
Let me get out my calendar here. Hold on. Sunday was Easter.
That was, in fact, Rusev Day.
Oh, okay. And then it looks like today is International Clog Day. People who wear clogs, I guess. I got one of these calendars that tells you what all the like crazy days are. And then let's see, Sunday. Oh, it is. It is Rusev Day.
It is Rusev Day.
I didn't know that, but it is going to be Rusev Day on Sunday.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. See, I think that that's going to definitely help out Rusev for his match for the United States title. Yeah. I mean, Any day when it is Rusev Day is always a good thing for him.
Yeah. Although I would look at his record on Rusev Day. It might not be as favorable as you might think.
That is true,
I got a question for you, Professor Tyler. I should call you Professor Ward. Professor Tyler is so informal. I'm sorry about that. What will be a bigger negative in their match? Brian's ring rust or Shane's injury? His injury, of course, being him being slammed into that genie lift thing backstage. And those, yelping like the grape lady.
Those odd yelps that came out of his body.
That was the sound of being injured, of getting a hernia.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it could be Brian's ring rust. Look, ooh. Shane McMahon, we've seen him take many a worse spill than being powerbombed on a ladder backstage. We've seen this man fall from the heavens through a table on multiple occasions. I think Brian's ring rust could be the problem. He hasn't wrestled officially in at least, I believe, a year and a half, 2 years in the WWE ring. It could take him a little while to get back into the groove of things. As we saw last week on SmackDown, he got beaten down. Well, 2 weeks. I apologize. 2 weeks
ago. 2 weeks ago, yeah.
He got beaten down in the ring.
Clearly, if you need to look at the calendar, I can show you. I think 2 weeks ago was Rusev Day also.
But it was, in fact, Rusev Day. On Rusev Day, he got beaten down. And, you know, I mean, I don't think he's quite back up to snuff as he needs to be.
I will note, it's funny that you mentioned that Shane has, you know, fallen into a table from the heavens. And oddly enough, that wasn't in his match where he fought God. Which is a match that did happen. Do you have another question for me?
I do. Andrew, come WrestleMania, come Rusev Day, how can Charlotte Flair beat the streak?
I think that Charlotte is going to have to use the one really big physical advantage that she has. And that's like size and reach, as they would say at like the NBA draft. They talk about players' reach. She's long and lanky, and I think normally she is the most powerful wrestler in the ring. I think she has to kind of do a stick and move and try to stay out of that rear naked choke that Asuka has and just like not let Asuka hold on to her. So I think the idea is to just like keep moving, because I think that she can like kind of put the hand on the forehead of Asuka and keep her away. I think that's really the only way I can conceivably see her winning. No one's really got close to beating Asuka.
No. See, I think this is going to boil down to a battle of the robes. We know that Asuka, she has an amazing robe that seems to be put together by the clothes of her enemies when she comes out into the ring. And we know that Charlotte Flair, man, she has that Flair robe that she comes out with, sparkly and looks like $1 million, man. I think it's going to be whoever can wow the other competitor with their attire. Might get the upper hand here.
Do you think I would have a chance in my bathrobe out there against either one of them?
Does it sparkle?
It's not supposed to, but I got some spackle on it accidentally. So
does it say Flair on the back?
No. Ooh. It says property of, and then I had my initials like monogrammed underneath it.
I see.
Yeah,
I think you'd have potential. It's possible.
We'll see. Another question for you. That's actually kind of along this same line of thinking. Is which wrestler has the best potential to have a ridiculous New Orleans-inspired outfit, and what will it look like?
I think that the best outfit of the night is going to be that of Braun Strowman. I think Mr. Strowman is going to come out to the ring as a transformer. We're going to see a large pickup truck driving down the ramp to the ring. And then slowly it will transform, and we will see that this was in fact the monster among men, Braun Strowman, all along.
Is that why he can flip over vehicles?
Because he is in fact a vehicle.
A vehicle himself? Like that. I thought you were going to say he's just going to throw some gold, purple, and green glitter in his beard, and that would be it. But, you know, that works too.
That could be it. He will pick up and throw a Gap store into the arena, and that will be his.
Yeah. Oh, I got one more then. Someone we haven't talked about yet this WrestleMania weekend. If you are Carmella, what plans do you have for your briefcase? Your Money in the Bank contract for the women's title briefcase.
That's true. I mean, I feel like at this point, if Carmella's smart, she's leaving that thing at home. it's just so far she's had two quote unquote attempted cash-ins. She's come down to the ring with the intention of cashing in, but never quite got there. The ref never rang the bell, therefore starting the match. I feel like she might, at this point, she's probably better leaving it at home. Maybe she could clear it out, put a few clothes, a few of those cool baseball caps in there. It'll be her carry-on, maybe.
I almost feel like to make it successfully work, she has to wait until the night after WrestleMania, until one of the winners of the titles goes to sleep in their hotel room.
Ooh,
and then sneak in on their tippy toes with the referee and very quietly count a three count as she just stands over top of the person while they're asleep. That's the best chance that she has.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I like it. All right, cool. Well, with that, we're gonna hop out of this here kayfabe machine, and I will see you on the other side, Andrew.
Sounds good.
Put that cigarette out.
It's still real to me, damn it.
We will ban you from the Summerfest.
You'll be banned from SummerSlam, is what you're saying.
SummerSlam.
I slammed out.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
Oh, my God!
Oof. I know it worked better, but I kind of missed the flag. I do like the racing stripe you put in the side of it, though. That was cool.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you got to add a little something. A little bit of flair.
So that's about all the time we have for the episode today. Do you have some stuff to plug, Tyler? Do you want to go through the other ways that people can enjoy WrestleMania week with this?
I mean, just, of course, another reminder for you guys, if you want to send in questions to the Kayfabe 5000 for us, you can submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter, @adowrestling, or you can just email them to us directly, muchadowrestling@gmail.com. Again, this is WrestleMania week. We're releasing blogs and episodes every day. This will be the second episode you guys got. We got one more coming for you before WrestleMania this weekend, of course. So just stay tuned to muchadowrestling.com. We'll be posting everything there. You can find it on Twitter, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and I have nothing additional to plug. So I'm going to leave you. We didn't mention again that we're gonna be voting on our favorite wrestlers and matches of the year next week.
Yes.
On the show, we'll run you through all that. But if you enter, you can win some free swag that we'll be sending to you as well with some actual cash value.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. But as always, we're gonna leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
And get these hands.
Oh. Scared me.
You think you're special. You do. I can see it in your eyes.